Well, it is good to be back with you. I've been gone for the last two Sundays. I spent a week helping my sister-in-law move from Panama City Beach, Florida, to Minneapolis, Minnesota. If you're keeping score at home, this is the same sister-in-law I helped move last December from Red Lodge, Montana, to Panama City Beach, Florida. She had taken a visiting artist teaching job at a college there, but it was a temporary job, and while there, got offered a more permanent, better position at the Northern Clay Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as their director of education. So her husband, who was a flight attendant, had to work and couldn't be there, and the rest of our family had to work. So my wife and I said, "We've got some vacation time. We can come help you move." So we headed down there. We did get the opportunity the first Sunday we were down there to go swimming in the Gulf for about 4 hours. My sister-in-law was in Texas for a wedding and wouldn't fly in until Sunday evening, so gave us a few hours to putt around, and we went and swam in the Gulf. It was a beautiful day for that. There was a little bit of vacation that we worked in there. My sister-in-law arrived Sunday evening. We picked her up at the airport and got started. And as often happens during moving, we had several, we'll call them adventures. Now, I've moved four times since I've lived in Kansas City, and even just moving across the city can be an event. Moving across the country brings its whole different bag of tricks. The first night in Florida, because her house was all packed up and she'd actually sold her bed there, we didn't have anywhere to sleep, so Jill said, "No problem." She said, "I got us a room on Airbnb." Now, Airbnb is a website that allows people who have a spare bedroom or two in their house to rent those out, like a bed and breakfast. That's what the B&B is for. And you can go and stay with them. Well, she had rented us a room, and as I was looking at the reservation, I noticed that it was a motel. Now, she hadn't flown in yet. This was during the day on Sunday, so I thought, well, I wonder where that's at. So I put it in my little phone, put it in my Google, see where it was. And I thought, I'm going to drive by and just see what this place looks like. As we're driving over there, my wife is driving, I'm looking at the phone, I'm pulling up their reviews, right? Whenever you Google a business, you can see the reviews people have left, customers have left about this business. You can see what things they've said about it. So I'm looking at the reviews, and some of the words that are jumping out at me are things like prostitutes, drug deals, police cars. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, did your sister read the reviews before she made the reservation? We get there. It's about 10:30 in the morning. We're driving around this little, it's a dive. It's a hole in the wall. It is awful. It was new when, like, Nixon was in office. This place is old. We're driving around looking at it, and my wife, always trying to be the optimist, driving around this horrible motel, says, "Well, I don't see any prostitutes." I said, "It's 10:30 in the morning. How many prostitutes do you think are out at 10:30 in the morning?" I said, "Trust me, this is a bad hotel." Jill flew in later that evening. We told her what we had found. Unfortunately, Panama City Beach, even though it has a lot of motels, a lot of people vacation there. It was Sunday night. We couldn't find another place right away that was within our price range. So after talking about it for a while, we decided, okay, you know, it's just for a night. We're just going to go there and sleep and get out. We'll do it for one night. So we drive to this motel. It's 10:30 at night. We get there, and my sister-in-law goes into the lobby to check us in. My wife says, "You got to go with her." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because this place has prostitutes and drug dealers." And I said, "Not in the lobby." But I went in with her. Of course, the lobby is locked to us now because it's 10:30 at night. And we have to deal with the desk clerk behind one of those bulletproof glass teller windows, right? Which does nothing but instill further confidence in me at the quality establishment that we have chosen for lodging. So we get to the window. It's about 10:30. And the clerk behind it says, "Hey, you know, I'll be with you in just one moment. You got here right at shift change. I just need to do this real quick, and then I'll check you in." We're like, okay, sure. You know, we're flexible. Sure, whatever. She proceeds to pull out her cash drawer, sets it on the counter, pulls out the stack of credit card receipts and begins putting them into her calculator. She then pulls out the 20s, starts counting those, the 10s, the 5s, the 1s, scoops out the quarters, puts them on the counter. The dimes, the nickels, gets to the pennies. As she's counting the pennies, she gets down to the last one. She punches it in to her calculator. She hits total, and her brow furrows. And my sister-in-law is watching her this whole time. My sister-in-law says, "No, that's not a good look." She proceeds to pull out the credit card receipts, clears out her calculator, and starts over. By the third time, Jill and I are saying things through the little teller window to her, like, "There's only 7 5s. There's 7. You counted 6, but there's 7. There's 7 5s. We've seen him counted 3 times. There's 7 of them. There's $35 in 5s. That's 7. Yes, 7 5s. She finally gets done. Apparently the third time's the charm. She either pockets the difference or just ignores it. At which point, she turns to reboot her computer. We're thinking, okay, all right. Can't get much worse, right? She opens the drawer and pulls out those little paper sleeves you put the coins in and proceeds to roll her coins as we're watching. About 20 minutes, we end up standing there watching her. Finally gets done. Shift change is over. By the way, didn't change personnel. She's still the same person. I wanted to tell her, that's not a shift change. That's just counting your drawers, all that is. It's not the same thing. She turns to us and says, "Okay, sorry about that wait. What can I do for you?" My sister-in-law says, "I have a reservation under Hutton." I don't know why the lady had a computer. She didn't actually go to the computer. She has a box sitting there on the counter with papers in it. She goes and starts flipping through the papers. "What name was it?" "Hutton." "Oh, you know what? I saw that one earlier. Somebody canceled that appointment." At which point, my sister-in-law responded, "No problem. Thank you very much." We drove down the street and actually did find a much better hotel to stay in that night. This was the beginning of our adventures, though. Throughout the whole week, there was just a litany of things that had happened to us. Nothing disastrous. I mean, nothing like a wreck or anything like that. But just little things along the way that you had to really keep your sense of humor about. We were in the middle of Wisconsin. And we had stopped at a truck stop. We'd filled up my car as well as the moving truck. Everybody used the bathroom. And I was making sandwiches for us. We'd brought a cooler along. So I was making sandwiches. So we just get right back on the road and keep going. When my sister-in-law pulls up next to us in the moving truck and she says, "Okay, don't overreact. So I set down the knife I was buttering the sandwiches with. She said, "I just got a phone call from a good friend of mine who is a tenured professor at one of the universities in St. Louis, and they're offering me a job." I said, "I'm not overreacting, but I'm busy that week." After our experience at the Happy Hooker Inn, we did take the time to go online and post a review about the motel. We felt it was kind of our responsibility so that future travelers could see, hey, whoa, slow down. This is not where you want to be staying. It's one of the things you can do now. When you Google a business, you can see their reviews online. You can after having an encounter with a company, you can give feedback on how positive or how negative the encounter might have been. What you think of the company, whether you'll use them again, you rate them on a scale of 1 to 5 stars. This technological ability to post public reviews of company is a powerful tool in today's market. You have direct impact on the job they do, on their future customers, giving them enormous incentive to try to do a good job. After our atrocious encounter with this particular business, we felt we needed to tell the whole world about it. Be aware. Sleep in your car. Which brings us to Minnesota. One of the things my sister-in-law did do to help make this move a little easier is she hired movers to load the truck in Florida and unload the truck in Minnesota. The guys we had in Florida were great. She got them through U-Haul. Two guys showed up. They had one of those big monster dollies that you could put like 20 boxes on. They were both big strapping lads. I mean, they walked in with, had all the equipment. They had gloves and straps and all that stuff. And we said, what can we do to help? And they said, really, just stay out of the way. And 90 minutes, they had the truck loaded. It was done. So we get on the road, and by Tuesday, we realize we're making really good time. Jill has hired 3 movers to help us on Friday in Minneapolis, but we realize we're going to get to Minneapolis a day early. The company she hired, she went through U-Haul. She hired a company called Minutemen Haulers. And the way it works is U-Haul vets these companies. You go through U-Haul to hire them. You fill out a form of all the stuff you have to move, all the heavy stuff, how many boxes, how many, you know, general stuff, like anything big. Like we had a large table that Jill had that's like 4 foot by 8 foot, but it has 29-inch legs. It was built specifically with 29-inch legs because doorways are 32 inches. It was a huge table, but it was built to go through doorways. So we put that in there. He also, my brother-in-law is a gunsmith. They have a rather large gun safe that would be the heaviest thing we had to move. So she had listed all this stuff on the form. The company had quoted her a quote of $125 to unload the truck in Minnesota. So on the way there, we realized we're going to be early. Jill pulls out her phone. She hasn't, the contact information's in her suitcase in the back. So she just pulls out her phone and she Googles Minutemen Minneapolis. And she gets the number of the moving company and she calls them and she says, hey, this is Jill Hutton. I'm coming in on Friday. I hired you guys to unload my truck on Friday. We're going to be a day early. Is there any way you could come on Thursday and unload it instead? And the guy says, who? And she says, Jill Foot Hutton. And he goes, what's your address? And she gives him the address. When was it? And she says, well, you were supposed to be there Friday, but I need to know if you can come Thursday. And the guy goes, oh, it's going to be pretty hot Thursday. We got a couple other jobs, but you know what? I think we can probably fit you in. Jill's like, oh, good. Thank goodness. All right, we'll see you Thursday then. So Thursday comes. They show up to start unloading the truck. And I have to tell you, I've moved a lot in my life. I've probably moved, I don't know, 14, 15 times in my life. Sometimes I did it myself. Sometimes I used friends and family. A few times I've hired professional movers to do it. Never have I ever heard 3 people whose job it is to move things complain so much about moving things. The entire time, every box they picked up was a gripe. Now, my brother-in-law, like I said, is a gunsmith, so he has a lot of, he makes his own ammunition. So because of that, he has a lot of boxes with things like lead and casings in it, and that's pretty heavy. So he packs it in very small boxes, because a box this size can weigh 30 pounds. These guys would pick up one of these little boxes. Ow! What's in this? Well, probably lead. Well, lead's toxic. Only if you eat it. Do me a favor. Don't eat it. So they're griping and complaining the whole time. Finally, I get so fed up with it. As the 3 of them are trying to figure out how to mentally lift the gun safe, I just strapped it to a dolly and pulled it into the house because I was tired of it taking so long. They get all done, and I go over and tell Jill, I'm like, look, the guys in Florida, we tipped because they did a great job. We're not tipping these knuckleheads. I was like, this was horrible. These guys should be in a different line of work. At which point the owner, who's been on this crew, comes in, his name's Craig, and he says, okay, we're all done, that'll be $250. And she said, no, I paid online, it was $125. He said, we don't take online payments. She said, what are you talking about? I filled out a form, it was through U-Haul. He goes, oh, that's Minutemen haulers, we're Minutemen movers. And then he says what would become the quote of the day, yeah, this happens all the time. Okay. So Jill pays him, writes him a check, $250. She's able to get online, cancel the other movers, who apparently we had not talked to during the week, for the next day, so she gets that $125 back. But she's still out $125 more than she thought she was going to be. So that night, when we get to the hotel, we have to stay in the hotel one more time. Her bed's not been delivered yet because she'd ordered a new one. So we went to stay at a hotel, and at the hotel that night, Jill and I both got on Google and wrote scathing reviews of Minutemen movers. I believe in my review I used words like shell game, scam, and said these guys are playing with you. They know that they're getting false business, and they don't tell you until it's all done. They're doubling their price. About 11 o'clock that night, Jill's phone starts blowing up with text messages from Craig, the owner. How dare you rate us poorly? I was doing you a favor. I don't pay people for favors. My friends do me favors. You were doing a job and you did a poor one. Finally, we just blocked his number. The next morning, we get a phone call from his secretary. She begins to extol to us the many virtues of Craig. He's a great guy. He's working hard to build up his company. And I said, well, that might be so. I said, that might be your experience. But you need to know the guy that I met yesterday is a jerk. And his guys aren't very good. And he's pulling a scam on us. Finally, what it came down to, she said, we'd really like you to take your negative reviews down. And Jill said, well, I'll tell you what. For $125, I'll take my review down. Through the power of words, we were able to impact the bottom line of this company. They knew. They only had about 10 reviews online. And with both of ours, that meant about 25% of them were going to be bad reviews. They were forced to react, to do something, to address the issue, because we said something about the service we got. You know, 20 years ago, we would have just complained. You would have probably heard it in a sermon. Jill would have told her friends and family, don't use these guys. But it wouldn't have gone much beyond that. But through the power of our technology today, Jill and I were able to put a review out into the world. We were able to say, we had an encounter with these guys, and this is what it was. Our words carry weight and power now, and they can impact change. As we went through this adventure, as we dropped several reviews online during the week, I began to notice a parallel between Google reviews and faith. We, you and I, have an experience. We encounter the living Christ. We are saved by grace, filled with God's love, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have this experience of faith. And then what? When I had an experience with this little peddling moving company, I told the whole world about it. When I was saved and set free by the love of Christ, who did I tell? The psalmist implores us this morning, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is you and I. We are charged to tell the world of God's greatness, to tell them of Christ's love, to tell them about hope and joy and peace and redemption and salvation. We come here, we gather in worship, we have the experience of meeting Christ. And then we are to go forth and say so. We tell the whole world in our words, in our actions, in our very lives. We tell them about the Jesus that we have met. Are they seeing positives or negatives from that interaction? What impression of Christ are they getting from the reviews that we put out with our lives? What message is permeating the world based on what we are saying about Jesus? We have come here today to meet Jesus, to be with Jesus, to be changed by Jesus, and then we go back out there, and what? What? Keep it to ourselves so our friends and family don't start to expect too much of us? Keep it to ourselves so we're not reviewed as those Christians? Keep it to ourselves so that others can just blindly stumble into faith accidentally. Our words, our actions, our lives have a power. We have encountered the risen Christ, and we can tell the world about that. We can guide them and help them and inform them by saying so. By telling the world about the Jesus that has touched and changed us. It is our responsibility. It is our calling. It is our charge. If we, who have been saved and set free, who have been redeemed, if we don't tell the world,